I'm not going to say sorry that you have to see my face again, so deal with it. Two weeks ago, I had a nasty cold, so I have a little bit of a cough, so I apologize in advance if it disturbs a little bit, so don't let that annoy you too much. So thank you very much for being patient with me. How many of you woke up this morning? Good. Me too. Yeah. I woke up in Airdrie. That's where we hang, where I hang my hat these days. Any of you go to Airdrie once in a while? Go to Superstore? Well, go a little bit further and then you'll find our house. There's some free coffee there. Anytime. I'm just getting myself organized here. So how are you guys this morning? I didn't hear you because I'm listening with my ears and looking at something else. Did you say to your wife that you love her this morning? Husbands? Wives, did you say you love your husband this morning? And the other way around? Did I tell you? Bummer, I didn't tell my wife. I love you. God is so good. And the way he helps us to survive life. Have you ever thought that you encounter an impossible situation in your life? Perhaps God give you an assignment to do. And you thought, no, that's not possible. Well, this morning, I like to look at that a little bit. I like to look at a title that I have chosen for this morning. I am possible. Did you know that God spells impossible a little bit different? He spells it, I am possible. So when we look at a situation or whatever it might be, we might say, that's impossible. But God spells it different, and that's how he works. He says, I am possible. So that is my title for this morning. And I basically like to look at three different snapshots, if you will. One of them is going to be a snapshot from the Bible. One of them is a snapshot of my own life. And the other snapshot is going to be about all of us in here today. That's kind of the steps that I'm going to take. How many of you are going to Bible school at the moment? There's a few Bible school students. Awesome. I was in Bible school too once. And I still am. And I plan to be in Bible school for the rest of my life in that sense. I did 7 years of Bible school, but that means nothing. It just kind of opened my eyes to the little bit that I know. 7 years. 5 years at Nipawin. You know where Nipawin is? Nipawin Bible School. Now it's Nipawin Bible College. And then Briarcrest Bible College. You know where that is? I did some time there. Some time. And then Prairie. You know where Prairie is? Prairie Bible College. I did my aviation training there. Anyway, I got all the Bible schools taken care of. Okay, so if you have your Bibles, we're going to dive into Judges. The book of Judges is one fascinating book, but that I can say about every book of the Bible. But because we're looking at Judges, it is absolutely amazing. The one particular story that has really captured my attention for quite some years already these days. So, we're going to read just a little piece of Judges chapter 6 from verses 1 to 10 to give us a little snapshot of what was happening with the people of Israel. The Israelites were in some serious trouble. Even before I read the passage, I just like to say the Israelites disobeyed God. And there was 7 years of a nasty scenario that came into their life. And we're going to read about that in Judges chapter 6. It will open up our eyes just a little bit in the predicament that they were in. So if you have the Bibles or you just want to listen to me, then the sons of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hands of the Midianites for 7 years. The power of Midian prevailed against Israel because of Midian. The sons of Israel made for themselves the dens which were in the mountains and the caves and the strongholds. For it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites would come up with the Amalekites and the sons of the east and go against them. So they would camp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza and leave no sustenance in Israel, as well as no sheep, no ox or donkeys. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents. They would come in like locusts for number. Both they and their camels were innumerable. So it doesn't even give us a count of how many of these people there were. And they came into the land and devastated it. So Israel was brought very low because of Midian, and the sons of Israel cried to the Lord. Isn't that how it is sometimes? I'm just going to take a little break. When we get in trouble, we got ourselves in a big mess, and then we cry out to God. Oh, God, please get me out of this mess. That's what the Israelites were doing. Now it came in verse 7. Now it came about when the sons of Israel cried to the Lord an account of Midian that the Lord sent a prophet to the sons of Israel, and he said to them, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, it was I who brought you up out of Egypt and brought you out from the house of slavery. I delivered you from the hands of the Egyptians and from the hands of all the oppressors, and dispossessed them before you and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. But you have not obeyed. And it was for that reason they started to worship the gods of the Midianites and the Amalekites and of the land and turned their backs to God. And that was very, very disappointing to God. And so God allowed the Midianites to come and snatch away all their goodies. Now, do you ever jump into a story, live it a little bit, experience it a little bit, kind of feel the story? That's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to look at the story of Gideon in a few more details. I'm not going to read anymore. I'm just going to tell you the story. Is that okay with you guys? If you don't like it, you can start walking out. No, I'm just kidding. I really, really enjoy jumping into the story. Now, Gideon was an ordinary man. He was living under this oppression along with all the other people for 7 years. 1 year is one thing, but two is another. Seven is yet another. That's a long time to be under the pressure of these crazy Midianites, the Amalekites, the people of the land. They were literally stealing away all their goods. So some of you do gardens on your little farm. Yes, no, maybe, or try. Well, how do you like it when people from Airdrie, they come and sneak into your garden and they take all your goodies? and they run back to Airdrie. And you've got nothing left, no carrots, no relish, no cucumbers, or whatever you can grow. It would be so annoying. But these people, these Midianites, they did this for 7 years. They kept coming back to your garden and took everything that you planted. There was a guy by the name of Gideon. You know Gideon, my friend? He's quite a character. He was just an ordinary man. He was just threshing some of this wheat, hiding in the corner somewhere so that the Midianites wouldn't find it. And an angel of the Lord came and spoke to him. Do you ever wish that an angel would come and talk to you? It would be frightening. It would actually be a little bit scary. But it would be cool, but scary at the same time. Gideon, I want you to do something. I want to give you an assignment. I want you to go and attack the Midianites. Now, how many Midianites were there? How many of these enemies were there? Innumerable. There is not even a number. So I am assuming it's probably 1 million, 2 million, 500,000. There was a large number. Huge. So Gideon was not sure if that was actually a message from God or he was just hearing things or imagining things. So Gideon does funny things. Maybe we do that sometimes. He says to the angel, while you're here talking to me, I'm just quickly going to go inside and I'm going to prepare you some snack, some food. I don't know how to deal with angels, but I don't think Gideon didn't know how to handle angels either. Do they eat real food or not? But he said, I'm going to go inside and I'm going to prepare some food for you. Promise me that you will stay here where they were meeting. The angel says, no, don't worry, I'll be here, I'll stay. So he goes inside, he prepares some meat and kills an animal. And I don't know, it must have taken an hour, 2 hours. I don't know, poor angel must have been very patient, waiting. Gideon comes back out, has the food there. And the funniest thing is, the angel said, can you please put that meat on top of that rock over there? That's interesting. That's how angels handle food. Interesting. Now I want you to take that broth, that nice soup that you have that comes with it. I want you to pour it over that meat. I just worked hard for this. You just want me to pour it out? So he does it. And the angel did something really cool. Beam! And fire came out of the rock and burnt the whole thing up. Well, that's one way of eating. Strange. What just happened there? Was that a miracle? That was impossible stuff. Just starting off here, I'm getting into the story here, okay? Gideon was still not quite sure, but the angel disappeared. And Gideon was still talking to God. God, I am not sure this is right. The assignment that you have given to me is kind of crazy. Because the Midianites are impossible to conquer and to attack. So Gideon says, well, I'll put out a fleece outside. And during the night, the fleece is going to be soaking wet. And the ground around it will be completely dry. Now, scientifically or whatever, ifically or whatever that is, that's not possible, is it? To put a fleece outside and have it completely soaking up during the night and the ground around it completely dry. Is that possible? It's not possible. You try it. It doesn't work. So he says, well, that's how I'm going to believe that this is true, that this message that you're giving to me is actually true. So Everything goes haywire. It happens. And then it switch it around. Let's do it again because I still don't believe you. Next time, he puts it down, and the fleece is supposed to stay dry and the ground around it completely soaking wet. And it happened again. God is so patient. Why does God even bother with us when we test him and try and ask and say and still doubt that it is actually true that he's given us an assignment? This Gideon is very much like us. Think about it. Gideon goes on even further, still doesn't quite believe, and God says, okay, I'll just have you go into the camp of the Midianites in the night, and I want you to hear what they are talking about. And lo and behold, as he snuck into the camp at night, Gideon and his friend, and they heard somebody said to somebody else, hey, I had a dream last night, and it was crazy. This Gideon guy, he's a godly man, and God has given him the power over our people. And they were already starting to talk among themselves that they were going to lose a battle. It was already happening. So there was confusion starting to come in. But then, the funniest thing about the whole story, Gideon started to get together a whole army. So he had 32,000 that volunteered to come and fight with him. 32,000. Now, how many Midianites were there? I believe that there were about 20,000 more than what he had. I don't know. Millions. So even 32,000 was not very much to fight against the Midianites. Do you agree with me? Are you with me in the story? Are you falling asleep? Come on, guys. This is quite exciting. So, or are you a quiet congregation? Maybe you are. That's okay. I respect that. So, there's Gideon. He got himself 32,000 people. God says, my friend, come here. I have a little chat with you. You have too many people. You are going to talk to your army and you're going to say, who is scared to go fight against these Midianites? 22,000 were scared to death to go and fight against these Midianites. They all went home and cuddled with their mommy because they were scared. So they were told to go home. We don't need people that are scared. We want people that are serious about this battle. We're going to go fight and we're going to win. Talk about going to war with confidence and with power, conviction that you're going to win. But those 22, they ran home. Gone. How many are there left now? Come on, do the math. 32,000 minus 22. We got 10,000 left. Okay, that's what it says right in the story. Okay, if you don't believe me, go outside and read for a while and come back. 10,000 left. God says to Gideon, little guy here, you have too many guys. Too many guys. I want you to take them all to a little creek down there. I want to see how they're going to drink water. How many of you have ever drank at a creek and you were thirsty like crazy? Some of you are from the old times. Maybe even these days, I don't know. But us in Mexico, we would drink in the creeks all the time. But we drink differently when we get to a creek. And I'm just going to pop this into my mouth so you can. Some people, they get into the creek. Can you see me, everybody? And then they put their mouth right down into the water and drink it like a dog. Some people drink like that. So Gideon was supposed to pay attention to all those from the 10,000 and see how many of them would drink like that. They were sent home. There was another small group They got down on their knees, but they scooped up the water like with a hand and brought it to their mouth. Only 300 drank like that. They were the only ones that were allowed to stay for the army. Dude, that's not good. 9,700 people were sent home. Gideon was left with 300 soldiers. Now, it gets even worse. They were told specific weapons. I got my weapons here. They were told to have a trumpet. This is a toy. They were told to have a torch. Kind of looks like this. A stick with a rag. They would probably dip it into some kind of oil. And then they will have a torch. Understand? They also are supposed to have a pot. It was probably bigger than this. So they would have their, doesn't quite fit inside, but we'll pretend it's all inside. A torch, a clay pot, and a trumpet. In the old days, they kind of had a trumpet more like this. But I can't blow it. I'm not a good trumpeter. This is where my mind just goes completely crazy. That does not sound like a soldier. From what I know from being a soldier, you fight with knives, with swords, with guns and bazookas and whatever else. Can you imagine what was going through the brain of these 300? They jumped on board with Gideon, and they had faith, and they went with conviction. They joined as a team, and they worked towards doing this task. It is incredible. Just to run the story a little bit on the shorter side here, Gideon said, okay, we're going to prepare for war with our trumpet, with our clay pot, and with a torch. Amazing. You have to picture this now. The Midianites had already gathered around in that valley, and it was in the middle of the night. And I was reading up a little bit on it, and it seems to me that there was a scenario that was happening when there is a battlefield like that. Some are allowed to go to sleep, and then they would have some that would be watchmen. And then they would cycle through so that there was watchmen all night and all day. You understand what I'm saying? So in the middle of the night, apparently, there was a switchover. So imagine now those who were on duty up until midnight, they were already tired. They were wanting to go to sleep. And the other team, the other group that was supposed to visualize and guard during the night had just woken up from a nice, beautiful sleep. So in that state, all of a sudden, Gideon had set himself outside around their camp. Gideon said, 100 guys go over there, 100 guys over there, and 100 over here in the middle of the night. And Gideon had given them instruction to follow what he did. When I blow the trumpet, you blow the trumpet. When I break my clay pot, you break the clay pot. You see, at first, the Midianites couldn't see anything around them. But when they heard the blowing of the trumpet, toot, there was confusion in the camp. And they were all freaking out. Then they heard a pot break. In one church, I actually broke the pot, but I won't make a mess today. They broke the pot. The sound of 300 of them outside of their camp must have been an interesting sound, a confusing sound. With the trumpets blowing, the pots breaking, and the torches were lit up. Are you in the story with me now? I think we're right at battle right now. Are you Midianite or are you one of those 300? I hope the 300. There was so much confusion in the Midianite camp, Amalekites and whatever people were there. They got out of their tents, and then because of the switchover and the confusion, they started killing themselves and each other. There was a battle going on inside. They just freaked out and started running for their lives. And Gideon won the battle that night. They'd never touched a gun. They had guns or no swords, no nothing. God did all the fighting for them. So, my time's up. And I'm not even finished with my story. And you were with me in the story. God gave me an assignment, and I looked at the assignment, which was to become a missionary pilot. Poor Mennonite from Mexico. I'd come from Mexico to Canada. I didn't have the coins. I didn't have my full education lined up properly. I looked at the assignment and I thought, God, you're crazy. This is impossible, but because you say so, I will do it. I got the training, and I was on the mission field for the last decade, and I'm still alive. Is that possible? Not humanly speaking. But I did it. With God's help, I did it. What about you guys? Every one of you in here. Maybe God has given you a task, and you're saying to yourself, no, it's not possible. Just remember, the same God, yesterday, today, tomorrow, he is the same. The awesome miracles that God did for the people of the Israelites in that day with Gideon, the miracles that took place, and we can look through the Bible from cover to cover, miracles happen everywhere. They are also happening today around the world, and they will also continue to happen tomorrow because God does not change. We need to have faith in God. We need to put our trust 100% in God. Agree? Agree. And that's what we're going to do. We are the 300. We're going to close with a word of prayer, and I'm going to send you off with God's blessing. God is at work here in Linden, here in this community. This church has had a lot of struggles. I know you have. But you are still faithful. You're meeting. You're coming together. You have faith. But we can extend that faith into the uttermost parts of the earth. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are so grateful for your love and your kindness to us, and that we can trust you to help us with these impossible tasks that seem to be in our hands at this moment. Please continue to help us to trust you and to believe that today you can also help us, like you did help good old Gideon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Why don't you stand as we just respond and close with a song.